that think that there's nothing very surprising about Christmas these days. The stuff is in the shops for so long that we're pretty well prepared. Well, okay, maybe we should be pretty well prepared, but we're not always. We might occasionally get some surprising presents, but we've got Christmas wish lists. Whether it's a letter to Santa or an Amazon wish list. Or maybe it's the panicky phone call around the extended family. What does so-and-so want for Christmas this year? The food, let's be honest, is usually the same every year as well. And do you know, none of that's a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing that there's no surprises, because one of the great joys of Christmas is the traditions. Whether it's the cultural traditions or the ones that are very specific to your own family. These familiar things, they're warm, they're comforting, they're safe. Just because it's familiar doesn't mean it's boring. But of course, the first Christmas was everything but familiar. It wasn't warm and safe and comforting. In fact, the word surprising hardly does justice to what happened in the first Christmas. Each of the readings that we have heard, familiar to many of us, contains many surprises. Take the first reading from John 1. It speaks about Jesus and tells us that Jesus is God himself, the living Word of God. He's described as the light which shines in the darkness. He's described as the one who brings us to God, who can make us children of God. And then we're hit with the surprise in verse 14. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. To be the light of the world, to bring us to God and make us his children, God became flesh, a human being. And in doing so, he showed us what God is like. He showed us his glory. There are other ways that we can understand something of God. We can understand something of his majesty and power by looking at the stars in the sky, looking at the world around us. We can understand something of who he is by reading his word. But he showed us himself most fully in Jesus. God became human. Now that's a surprise. Then in our second reading, we get into that beautiful personal story of Mary. And Mary's story is a surprise. It's a surprise that the angel visited her, that she should be chosen by God to be the mother of this baby that God made human. She was a poor young girl. She had no status. She wasn't even married yet. She was still a virgin. When she became pregnant, there would have been terrible shame and scandal. She would become the kind of person that people crossed the street to avoid. The Son of God, the Savior, that's what the name Jesus means, would be born into scandal and poverty. Another huge surprise. And then we heard those very familiar verses from Luke 2. And there's more surprises there. We hear about how the place where Jesus was born was occupied by the Roman Empire. It was a backwards town, Bethlehem, in a backwards part of the world, insignificant by every measure that the world has. And even in that backwards town, in that backwards corner of the world, he still didn't have a proper place to be born, because there was no room for them at the inn. All they had to lay him in was a manger for animal feed, hardly a safe, sanitary place for a baby, certainly a surprise. And I don't know about you, but I don't think the angels appearing on a hillside in the middle of the night is exactly that. Maybe we'd consider that an appropriate thing. Maybe that's one of the least surprising when we think this is the Son of God. Who else do you send to announce it but a choir of angels? But why send them to shepherds? Shepherds were considered in their culture to be little better than thugs and thieves, another group of people that you would cross the road to avoid. We're told that as the shepherds returned out to their sheep, the people of Bethlehem wondered at what the shepherds told them. I've got little doubt that some of those people were wondering what the shepherds had been drinking and why they were disturbing their quiet night. That's just a few examples of the surprises of the Christmas story. And I wonder how we would have dealt with those surprises, these unexpected things. Mary and the shepherds, though surprised at what the angels told them and at what happened, I think they handled that pretty well. What did Mary say to the angel? She said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Take that in for a moment. She has just been told that she, a poor, unmarried virgin, will give birth to the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. She, I'm sure, could understand some of the implications, the rumours that would fly for the rest of her life. That probably paled into insignificance just at that incredible thought that the Son of God was who she would give birth to. And yet she trusts God so completely, her response is, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And what about the shepherds? Well, they hear this news and they don't hang around wondering. "Right," they say, "let's go. Let's run down to Bethlehem. Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And there's Mary, surrounded by surprises in that surprising place. And what does she do? Shepherds rushing in, a baby in a manger. She treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She may not have fully understood everything. No doubt the shepherds passed on the message. She probably had a better understanding than they did because of what the angel had already said, but even though she didn't understand everything, she knew that these things were to be treasured, to be pondered, seeking understanding. But I think what stands out for me is that Mary and the shepherds were willing to listen. They were open to receive. They heard incredible things, and they trusted, and they responded. John 1 said this about Jesus: "To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Mary was willing to receive the surprise and receive life. The shepherds were willing to receive their news and receive life. And the question stands for us, are we willing to receive? These words we sang in our last carol, and I hope this will be our prayer this Christmas. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us. Abide with us. Our Lord Emmanuel.